Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Aquila Fitness Podcast. We're on episode 27, and this episode we're going to talk about how to improve the Murph Challenge. So this past week, it was Memorial Day, and the Murph Challenge is a very popular workout that a lot of people do in the fitness community. And it's a challenge that's dedicated to those who sacrificed their lives for our freedom, and that's why it's performed on Memorial Day, obviously. But, I mean, it can be done anytime, of course, because it's just a great workout overall. I believe it's called the Murph Challenge because a Navy SEAL Lieutenant, Michael Murphy, completed this workout all the time, apparently. And he was killed in action in 2005. So, and this just became a workout that everyone does on Memorial Day. So the workout consists of a mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and finish with another mile. And this is all done in a 20-pound vest, but obviously you don't have to use the vest because additional weight is very, very hard. So you have to be pretty advanced to complete it with the vest. I did the challenge on Memorial Day, and it was terrible, actually. It was really hard. I was trying to go for time, so I was going as hard as I can, which is not the best thing. You should pace yourself the whole time. But I wanted to get under an hour, and so it was pretty tough. Have you done this before, Randall?
I have not. I don't know. It's on paper, it looks hard, and just knowing how many pull-ups and push-ups and squats takes, I know it's hard, so I've kind of stayed my distance so far.
You should definitely try it one day. I think the hardest part is, honestly, it's all really hard. The easiest for me was the push-ups, but the pull-ups and the runs were by far the hardest. But I think the worst mile was after you do the 300 squats.
Did you do it in the way that you did all the push-ups, all the pull-ups, and all the squats? You did like them all together before you moved on to the next exercise?
Yeah, I did do that. I wasn't sure if you're supposed to do that or do...
Yeah, typically or traditionally, the way it's set up, you're supposed to, but... The way I have some friends do it, or that I know how the way some people do it, is they kind of just do it in like a circuit kind of style where you can knock it down a little faster since you're not going to burn out your muscles a little fast, just doing push-ups over and over again until you get 200 or something.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I just wanted to see if I could do it that way. I think you do is like 20 sets of like 5 pull-ups and then 10 push-ups and then 15 squats, which doesn't sound too bad, right?
Yeah. But,
I think I would definitely try that next time because it was very taxing. It was very hard.
So let's just get into like the benefits of what the Murph is and like just performing it. So I think like it's just a great way to hit a full body workout. The only thing it probably neglects is like the posterior chain because there's no deadlift movement or anything like that, so the hamstrings are left in the cold a bit, but other than that, it hits your back, it hits your chest, it hits your legs. So overall, it's just a great strengthening workout while getting in some cardiovascular by doing the mile run both beginning and after. And depending on how you do it or how fast you can do it, it's basically like a HIIT workout for an hour, depending how fast you can complete it.
Yeah. My legs were extremely sore after. I think it was mostly because of the running, and I don't run like at all. But yeah, if you're like an avid runner, or like you're just a decent, you have decent VO2 max, it shouldn't be, the mile run shouldn't be bad in the beginning. But yeah, the overall workout's like pretty taxing on the body. So your muscular, this is a great workout for your muscular endurance and your cardiovascular endurance. But you should be warned, if you're just like a beginner or intermediate kind of person or fitness guy and you want to do it with a vest, you definitely shouldn't. It would take a really long time, that's for sure. I mean, you could do it, but it won't take you like an hour 15. It'll probably take you almost like 90 minutes to almost 2 hours. Let's see. So to train, if you want to improve your time, so like improving the mile run or the push-ups or the pull-ups or squats, the squats are, I think squats are the easiest for most people, I think. Like air squats aren't that bad.
Yeah.
But the mile run, the push-ups are harder for sure. So and we talked about the VO2 max and the pull-ups, to how to improve those. Just we talked about like incorporating like high volume of pull-ups and different types of back workouts to improve your muscular endurance and strength. How would you go about telling someone who wants to work up to getting a vest in the challenge, but they're kind of new? How would you tell them to, how to, like, how long would it take, and how would you, they improve to complete the time in a timely manner their challenge?
I think I would challenge them to maybe until they get, so if they're doing the whole entire challenge with their all their squats, push-ups, the mile run, and pull-ups, I'd probably challenge them to probably get around the 45-minute mark before considering the vest. Because once you put that vest on, that's probably adding another 30 minutes easily, just because of how heavy it is, how taxing it could be in each lift throughout the whole workout. So I'd probably challenge someone I'm having perform the Murph challenge to kind of get that. So I think from what I read is 45 to 55 minutes is usually a good time for the Murph challenge. And I'm not sure if that statistic was based on people who wear the vest or not. So I'm just going to assume they do have the vest since it's traditionally performed with a vest. So if you can perform it around 40, 45 minutes without the vest, then I would then try to progress you into getting a vest just so you get that extra challenge. Because once you hit that point where you're doing the challenge relatively fast without the vest, the only extra resistance you could add to yourself is adding the extra weight. So then, and there's always different, if someone wants to like kind of ease into it without having to spend too much money, they could probably wear a backpack for like, mm-hmm. just like put a couple books. It doesn't have to be 20 pounds. Like you could progress yourself from just putting maybe something that you feel is 5 to 10 pounds in your bag, and then kind of trying to do as much of the challenge with that bag on, especially when you're running or your push-ups and pull-ups and squats, you're going to have start to have that extra resistance. So you should see that the amount of time it takes you to finish it will start to increase. And then once you feel like you kind of plateaued or you did as good as you could with that amount of weight, then you could finally slap on the 20-pound vest and progress with that.
Yeah, I think adding like a 5 pounds or a 10 pounds first and then see how it goes. And then just based on how you feel, you keep working towards the 20-pound vest. You're right. I'm not sure if it's like between 45 and 55 minutes is with the vest, because that's pretty crazy time for 45 minutes with the 20-pound vest.
Yeah. But that's probably like on the good side. So like the average probably around an hour.
But, yeah, with vests. Yeah.
With vests nowadays, I feel like there's some vests that like they're adjustable where you could take, like, I don't know, there's some vests where those like pouches and bags of weight, mm-hmm. like whether it's like sand or whatever, but you can kind of like remove some of it so your vest is lighter in general. So you could buy like that one vest and kind of take off some of it to start. And then as you progress, you start to slap more of that weight on the vest.
Yeah, like two of those
kind of vests like that.
Yeah, I think a Rogue vests. Those are pretty expensive ones though, because you can add so much different weight and take away so much different weight. I think for a beginner, you can cut. I guess you would start to cut. You would cut all the reps in half. So maybe like a half a mile run, and then 50 pull-ups, 50 everything, and like 200, and then 150 squats, and then another half mile. I think that'd be a good place to start and see how you feel with that.
Yeah. So if I was trying to have someone train for the Murph, or like if they're starting off and they're trying to build, I think what I'd have them probably do is go crazy on the volume for. So instead of doing all three in the same day, just because the amount of recovery it would take, I'd probably have them perform like a half a mile, and then what is it? Three. So we'll start focusing on squats. Mm-hmm. Also, like, focus on squats so they're going to make it easier for themselves. I'd probably have them do 300 squats on one day. They could rest the next day. And then they're probably going to do it, like, every other day. They're doing 300 squats, essentially. No, every 3 days. So I want them to focus on squats one day. They could do, like, 300, even 400. So, like, when you start to incorporate it with all the other exercises, they'll have an extra energy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since it's body weight, you should be able to recover relatively fast. And if that's the only exercise you do that day, even if it takes you an hour to do all the squats, that's about a traditional workout anyways. And you could begin with a half-mile warm-up, do the squats, and finish up with a half a mile. And then the following day, you could focus on strictly push-ups. The following day, you could focus strictly on pull-ups. And then you kind of repeat that. And I think the goal I would hit for them is just, like, be able to hit insane volume on a weekly basis without having the intensity too high by doing it too often. So by doing it every two, three days, they're able to recover. And by the time they put it all together, hopefully they'll have a little bit of extra energy to pull it off and have a fast time.
Yeah, I like that. I like to incorporate the high volume in their workout. Say, like, you know, your daily workout, maybe it's like a chest day or a leg day. I would finish with that. Like, finish with, like, say you max out your push-ups or your chin-ups or pull-ups or whatever. And I guess leg day, you would finish with the squats and then a cardiovascular endurance type of exercise, probably a run, or you could do a Stairmaster, but I think the run will probably be more beneficial because you want to complete the Murph challenge. It's just something to work towards. And if you do this, like, every week, you'll see just a huge difference in your how fast you complete all the reps. And then if you add everything together, do the Murph, you'll see how fast you do it.
So let's talk about like a strategy, like going into it, performing it, like what are some things they could do to kind of put themselves in a position to do it best. So from general experience, when I do any exercise or form of movement, that I try to do as many as I can in a particular amount of time, I found it best to kind of have a number, do it in increments, having like a certain number in the back of my mind. So say I'm doing 200 push-ups, I'll tell myself I'll do 20 at a time, or even for someone, you could do 10 push-ups at a time. Because say someone could do a 30 push-up max, but if you try to do all 30 push-ups and then you take a little break, you try to do push-ups again, you might only do 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that was your max effort, the next time you do it, you might only get 10, and you might only stay at 10 for the rest of the workout. Versus if you told yourself, I'm going to only do 15, 20 push-ups, then I'll rest like 15, 20 seconds, and then I'll do another 15, 20, rest another 15 seconds, do another. So you're going to be able to stick within that 15, 20 range consistently for the whole workout versus doing 30. You pushed yourself real hard, then for the rest of the workout, you can only do 10 at a time,
mm-hmm.
which is going to end up making you do push-ups for even longer amount of time because you just push yourself to maximal effort right away versus just kind of reserving a little bit in the tank, allowing your muscles to recover a bit, and then pushing yourself again. But you never really get to that maximal effort point, so you're always going to have energy and be able to perform push-ups at a faster rate.
Yeah, that's a good strategy. I wish I did that than what I did on Monday, because I was trying to, like, just go as fast as I can. And I don't recommend that because I got tired very fast, especially right after the mile run. So I was already pretty tired.
Yeah, I feel like push-ups is I think chest relatively recovers decently, but I think especially if you were to do maximal effort on pull-ups, you're going to really beat yourself up because, say, most people probably their max effort's like 10 to 15. But if you do go to your maximal effort, the next time you get on that pull-up bar, you're maybe doing 5. And if you're doing sets of 5 for the rest of the workout, it might be pretty tough. So maybe whatever it all depends on, like, your max number. So if your max amount of pull-ups you can do is 15, try to do no more than 8 or 10. And then you drop back down, rest a little bit, hit another 8 or 10. So you never have to settle for just doing a set of 5 consistently for the rest of the workout.
Yeah. I think I would definitely try that next time, because I try to do sets of 10 reps 10 times, and it doesn't seem that was hard, but
you're good at pull-ups, so that's good for you. That works for you, though, I feel like, because your pull-up max is like 20.
I finished the pull-ups in like maybe 10 minutes, so it worked, but it was very hard, though. Like, I think I got to around 30 or 40, because I did it right after I finished the run, so, you know, you're breathing heavy still. Your oxygen level's kind of getting low, and so not as much oxygen's going to the muscles. But I did – the mistake I made, which no one should do, is I tried to get to 25 pull-ups immediately, which was stupid. So I was pretty tired the rest of the time.
For the rest of your pull-ups, it was pretty hard.
It was harder, yeah. So I couldn't – I wasn't able to do 10 sets of 10. It just wasn't going to happen. I kind of plateaued around like 35, 40, and I like only could do like 4 to 6 each time. And by the time I was close to 100, I only can do like a couple.
Yeah. So
they're very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Facing yourself, just leaving yourself with that extra energy. Cause anytime we go to that maximal effort point, usually just hitting a maximal effort point, that's a workout on its own. So the fact that you did a work like multiple workouts by going to maximal effort, then still continue to do more is pretty hard.
Yeah, definitely test your
mental. It's a lot of mental too.
Yeah, I like the last mile. I had to stop a couple times. Like I tried to do, try to keep going, but I was like, man, I was just dead. It was tough. Yeah, I think we covered everything about the Murph. Definitely recommend it to everyone. Should try it at least once, really. Because the rest of the day, I was like, dang, that was really, really hard. But you feel good after.
Yeah, definitely a workout that can't go wrong. Hits essentially most of the body. So if it's a workout you consistently do, even if it's like once a month, couple times a month, you're going to be in pretty good shape as long as you're able to maintain a very good time. So something that I recommend everyone should try, including myself. I'll convince myself to do it eventually, but currently focusing on my powerlifting career. That will probably last for this year, then it'll end, but I'll try the Murph out soon.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Have a good one, everyone.